first. And then we're going to go to James chapter 1. He tells us that all the issues of life, they don't actually flow from your bank account. They don't flow from the circumstances that you are in or those that you care about are in. They don't flow from where you were born. They don't flow from the fact that you're male or female. They don't flow from anything that seems to be the thing that says, I get to decide. They actually flow from your heart. In Proverbs chapter 4, let's go there. I'll read again from verse 20, but it's in verse 23 that we're taking our instruction from. It says, my son, my daughter. Proverbs chapter 4, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. Put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. How to watch over your heart? The first thing is to recognize, I need to. I need to watch over my heart. The things that you're going through, the circumstances that you're facing, all of the things that pertain to you, they all want to tell you something. They all want to rule or dominate you. And one of the things that you as a son or a daughter of the living God have to learn is to take your place as a son or a daughter of the living God. And therefore, the only thing that has the right to dominate me is my father. All these things have to be put in their place. Okay? It is not the case that because we are Christians, we get an easy life. Okay? I think everybody knows that either by experience or by understanding from the scripture. You know, in this world, you will have trouble. Okay? So there goes any notion that we won't have trouble. But take courage. I have overcome the world. And these are the kinds of things that we need to use because God gives us insight into how things work down here. What really matters is what's going on in your heart, not what's going on outside you. And I don't mean to make light of the fact that we can have things going on outside us that are very difficult, that hurt us, that stress us, that traumatize us, that break our hearts. No questions about that. But at the end of the day, the thing that really matters is what's going on in your heart. Okay? And our Father in heaven comes and says, son, daughter, listen to me. What really matters here is that you watch over your heart. Okay? Let me take a moment just to remind you, and I hope maybe somebody else can take a time up here to put it into better words, just the extraordinary privilege it is to be who you are. And I'm talking about somebody who is born again. Now, the person who's not born again, they have a privilege too. They get to be born again if they would let him, if they would welcome him and choose him. But let me limit what I'm saying to those who are born again. What an extraordinary thing. What an extraordinary thing it is for you to be who you are. The living God has saved you. The living God has redeemed you. The living God has brought you back to a place where you can discover why he invented human beings. And you get to find out. You get to find out. Now, that's not something that you read a book about, like a blog about on the web and you're done, or you read a passage. You read the whole Bible and you're done, right? Jesus said, you know, you search the scriptures thinking that in them you have life, but they speak of me. So there is this ongoing adventure, ongoing journey where you get to discover, why did God invent us? And you get to find it out. You get to find it out. And it is just an extraordinary privilege to be you. Now, let me connect that to part of that privilege is you represent him. Okay? So, one of the things that we have to, sooner or later, and preferably sooner, come to grips with is, actually, my life is really not about circumstances, careers, planning my life. How do I retire? It actually isn't got to do with that as its main ingredient. I represent him. Okay, now I represent him in my career. I represent him in how I plan for my retirement. I represent him, sure. Those, I'm not saying throw all those things away, but understand your life is something more significant than the things that you are involved with, because you have Holy Spirit within you. You get to represent him. And one of the things that we've talked about so far is, if you're going to watch over your heart effectively, successfully, you have to embrace this. Or let me put it differently. You have to embrace this reality. I want him to be pleased. Me being pleased is not so valuable as I might think it is. Me getting what I want in a circumstance, as tremendous as that might sound, is not actually as valuable as you might think it is. A long time ago, a friend said to me, wanting is better than having. And it's something worth thinking through. I mean, it doesn't apply to everything, but, oh, you know, I just wish I had a new car. You know, it was just like all the things that I go through with this stupid car that I have. Man, if I could just get another car, if I could just get another job, if I could just get a wife, if I could just get a husband, if I could just get, then you find out once you have it, this is not quite what I thought it was going to be like. This is not at all what I thought it was going to be like. It's not that the thing itself is wrong. It's that it can never fulfill you. It can never fulfill you because you were made for something bigger. You were made for something far bigger. And so it is important that we embrace, I was made for something bigger. I want him to be pleased. I want him to be pleased. Now, this is something that we have to learn, okay? When we are born again, we are babies, okay? And you know what a baby is like. They don't know how to design bridges. They don't know how to fly a plane. They don't know how to cut somebody open and repair something that's broken inside their body. They don't know that. They're a baby. They got to learn. Likewise, when we're born again, we got to learn. One of the things we got to learn is, listen, this place wants to entangle you, but you were made for more than this. Embrace this. I was made for the will of the Lord. I was made for him to be pleased. I want him to be pleased with my reaction to so-and-so, to my reaction to being assaulted in my body. I want him to be pleased with this complicated thing that I find myself in the midst of. Whatever it is, let's say I've been entangled with sin for all my life and all of a sudden I've woken up and I see I am living out a nightmare that I didn't need to live out. But now I want him to be pleased. That's how you have to think about it. Not, Lord, let me rewind my life. Let me go and take it all back. It ain't happening. It ain't happening. There are certain things. I mean, there's nothing too difficult for the Lord, but there are certain things that by his will are not going to happen. They're impossible. A, he's not going to lie. Impossible. So don't say, well, nothing is impossible for the Lord. Well, that is impossible. B, he doesn't allow you to live your life all over. But what he does allow you is to find out just how deep infinity really is when it comes to grace. That it is so much more than enough that it can restore your life. David, the man who was after God's heart, sinned more spectacularly than anybody up to that point in time had recorded. I mean, you know, in the context, here's a guy who's so in love with the Lord, and then he sins so spectacularly. But the last words of David imply, everything is good with me. Oh my goodness, how good God has been to me. Okay? How is that possible? You know all the stuff that he went through after he sinned. Because the grace of God is just so deep. Just so deep. So, if you find yourself in the situation where you are simply reaping what you have been sowing for many years, take courage. By choosing to delight over him being pleased, you can sow something different. And the grace of God is more than enough. Okay? So, if we're going to watch over our hearts, number one, it's got to matter to us. Why should it matter to us? Because I want my Father to be pleased. And he said, Titus, watch over your heart. Okay? That's what really matters. That's what really matters. Okay? So the first step in how to watch over your heart has to do with wanting to watch over your heart, valuing it, honoring it, recognizing the significance of it. I'm telling you, you already know this, but I'm reminding you, this world pulls on us. This world draws us. It's so... we're born into it, and because we had to be born again out of it, We can still be under its influence even after we're born again. And it just wants to set the rules for you. It just wants to tell you what's possible, what's not possible. It just wants to declare for you, ah, your life is over, you're worthless, whatever it might be. You know, some of us are a little bit older than 50. Okay, I'm older than 50, so I'm talking about me. Okay? This world likes to tell you, the older you get, the more useless you get. Okay, and society is in some ways defined that way. You know, I was chatting with a friend, and I couldn't believe some of the things he was telling me about it. But he said there was, like, he was watching this TV show that was supposed to be depicting the society of the Norsemen, like the people in Scandinavia. And apparently, what they would do is when you got old, you were expected to throw yourself off a cliff because you're now useless for society. What a demonic thought. Absolutely diabolical. Absolutely diabolical. You can tell that God does not think that way. He says the glory of old men is their, the gray hair that they have is the glory of old men, implying there is something glorious to getting older. But if you listen to the world, you will listen to, well, I'm 70 now, I'm 80 now, I'm 90 now, I don't got a job, I don't got a career, I'm useless. False. As long as you are here, you have a purpose in the Lord. And you need to be willing to embrace it so that you say, so that you watch over your heart. I'm useless is an arrow aimed at your heart. It's a dart thrown at you to stop your heart from expecting God to still use you, from expecting God to show up in your seam. And so we have to stand against it. You have to guard your heart against it. No, I belong to the Lord. I want Him to be pleased with every day of my life. Every day of my life. Caleb, you know, the hero from the time period just before the people of Israel entered the land. The man who was found faithful with Joshua and had to stick it out with them for another 40 years anyway. At 80, he says, bring it on. I'm just as strong as I was. Bring it on. And he deliberately took on the hardest stuff. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that we're supposed to be like Caleb and we can swing a sword at 80, but the attitude is to be cultivated. How? Whether I'm 5 or whether I'm 500, I belong to the Lord. Whether I'm 50 or whether I'm 80, I belong to the Lord. I am here for Him. I am here for Him. This is necessary for watching and guarding over your heart so that things don't get stuck inside you that then prevent God from moving. This is the awkward thing that we have to come to grips with. God does not overpower you. Not that God can't overpower you, don't get me wrong. Okay? And there can be experiences that we have where we feel we have no control. But the things of consequence always involve your choice. So why is it surprising that the world, who is under the dominion of the evil one, seeks to try and prevent you? How? By overpowering you? Well, it'll try, but the bigger thing it tries to do is aim for your heart. So watch over your heart with all diligence, because from it flow the springs of life. Okay, so let's start thinking about or talking more deliberately. James chapter 1. Make sure I don't lather on unnecessarily. James chapter 1. Watching over your heart. Okay, I will remind you, I made a connection between the instruction in Proverbs chapter 1, or Proverbs chapter 4, watch over your heart, and Ephesians chapter 6, put on the full armor of God. Okay? That those things are actually connected. That there is something that you have to watch over. Now, in Ephesians, it's sort of builds on Proverbs chapter 4 by saying, here's how you do it, put God on. Okay? So that's why I talked to you about, you know, as you get older, how you need to think about yourself. Don't stop thinking. I belong to the Lord. I'm here for Him. With my last breath, I want Him to get what He wants. That's why I'm here. I refuse to just sort of drift aimlessly on, as if by a certain time, I'm now not that useful anymore. If you are not useful to the Lord in your later days, it's because you bought into the lie that you're not useful to the Lord in your later days. You didn't watch over your heart. Reject it. Reject it. I'm not talking about, again, swinging swords, but I am saying you've got a purpose every moment of your life. Embrace it. Embrace it. Embrace it. I am here for the Lord. I was born for a time such as this. He grants me these days to live because I still got something to do. I still got something to do. Yeah, I might not be busting bowls, but I still got something to do. And as an aside, I still got to wonder whether the idea of busting bowls came from the Lord or otherwise, because it's just craziness. This is me ribbing Normie, who loves the rodeo. Come on, who looks at this massive animal and says, hey, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get on there and see how long I can stay on for. Like, why? Okay, that's just how we are. I don't want to, let me not get carried away. I'm just joking. Accomplishing things that look ridiculous can have a value. Why do people climb mountains? And people say, because it's there. I would like to say, I'm not by any means saying that it's wise or sensible to just throw yourself into risk, but there is something of the Lord in there. Let me see what I can really do. Yeah, there's Norman's nemesis, bigger spreadsheets. Let me see. Or let me turn it around. It can be Holy Spirit saying, let me show you what you can do. Right? Okay, leaving that aside. James chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad, greetings. Don't be distracted by the greeting. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Okay, so first of all, recognizing what we said before, in this world you will have trouble. Okay, so no surprise. Now, some of that trouble can be avoided, no question. Okay, that's why Proverbs is written. Here's how to avoid a lot of trouble. Be wise, okay? But let's say even if it's not the case that you were wise, now you're in trouble. You're facing trouble. You're dealing with trouble, okay? And then, obviously that applies to every one of us. There's some kind of trouble that we have to deal with. What he just told you is, here's how you can watch over your heart in it. See, don't read these kinds of passages as, here's how to impress God. Here's how to stay in God's good books. Here's how to make God look good in the eyes of other people. Here's what a good Christian should do. Here's how to not embarrass God. Do not read these things like that. This is God, your Father, saying, son, let me help you. Here's what you need to do in trouble. The issue really is your heart. So, do something with your heart in the midst of trouble. Consider it joy. Now, in our early discussion, we already know people are facing trouble with a capital T in our midst. So what should we do? Well, our Father says, listen, the actual issue is not the trouble, it's your heart and what you do with it now, how you deal with it. Because listen, you will never face anything that is a match for the power of God. Never. Agreed? I'm not saying that the power of God automatically shows up. Fair enough. We can stop it, we can block it, et cetera, et cetera. But in terms of what is available to you, you will never run short. Okay? So the issue cannot be get God stirred up, fire up God so that he can do. No. The issue is I don't want anything to block God flowing through me in the midst of this trouble. So I need to watch over my heart. What am I supposed to do? Consider it all joy. Consider it all joy. Okay? Now, last time, I also reminded you, in all things give thanks. So you're considering trouble as joy. One element of that is to find things to give thanks for. Not find in the circumstance things to give thanks for. Start with what you can already be thankful for. Psalm 103 tells us that one of the problems we can have is that we forget his benefits. Okay? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. So, situation, trouble. One of its effects can be to forget how faithful and true he has been up to now. So, knowing that, you say, okay, I better help myself. Let me go back to what I can be thankful for. I cannot be thankful. I don't see anything to be thankful for in this trouble, but I got to be thankful, so let me start. What can I be thankful for? I remember when you did this for me, and I give you thanks. I remember how kind you were here, and I give you thanks. I remember that you've just forgiven me. Even in the midst of this, you've forgiven me. This is where we start, okay? The goal, considering trouble joy. Okay, misunderstand that. I'm not saying, hallelujah, we love trouble. I'm saying, in the midst of trouble, how do we consider it joy? How do we get to the joy that is supposed to be what is fueling my heart? Okay? We'll start with Thanksgiving. Start with Thanksgiving. And here, he tells us something. What is something else that you can wrap yourself in? There's something for God. There's something God wants me to get out of this. Okay? Now, please, one of the terrible things that can come and plague our thinking about is when something horrible happens, well, God has a plan for it. God meant this for my good and all that kind of stuff. No, throw that kind of thing away. Throw that kind of thing away. What I mean is, he is granting me in this situation, regardless of why it came out, he is granting me the opportunity to grow in something that pleases him. Endurance. Endurance. What is endurance? Being able to continue believing even if it takes a long time. That doesn't just happen. That isn't a, some people are like that, and then there's you. It takes practice. It takes practice. It takes practice. And God says, okay, I don't mean to imply that this is always the case, but, you know, even when the trouble is our own fault, he says, it's okay. There's an opportunity here. I want you to endure. I want endurance. Why? Why should we endure? What's so good about endurance? It'll actually result in perfection, something complete being formed in you. I don't mean that you, in the sense of now, you shine perfectly, but some aspect of the will of God can be brought to completion in you because you endured. So, driving all of this again is, I want God to get what he wants in me. Oh, trouble is here? I want God to get what he wants in me. And as an aside, not as an aside, and by the way, what he wants is wonderful. What he wants is the best thing I could have. It's not like, well, at least God got what he wants, but then, you know, I got nothing out of this. That's not what we mean when we say God gets what he wants. Remember, God getting what he wants puts you in a better place than the best of your dreams. Okay? God getting what he wants out of you puts you in a better place than the best things you can plan for yourself. So we're talking about how to get blessing working out in my life. So I want God to get what he wants. I'm in trouble. What do I got to do? I got to consider it joy. I got to guard my heart from trouble overwhelming me. Because when I get overwhelmed by trouble, that's when the sad songs come out. Okay, and I should be careful. The Psalms have sad sections in it. I'm overwhelmed. What's going on? But interestingly enough, you'll find him says, if I had not believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So yes, sad songs, but then you got to watch over your heart and say, let me come back to the thing here. I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Okay, so think about the marvelousness of that promise. After I'm in heaven, I will see how good this was. Okay, you will see in fullness, no question. But the goodness of the Lord is to show up here to help you. What do you got to do? Consider it all joy. Find a way in the midst of trouble assaulting you to rejoice in the Lord. Not rejoice in the trouble, rejoice in the Lord. Find a way. That's too hard for me. Actually, you know what? It's not. You may not be able to do it as skillfully as somebody else, but God would not put upon you something that is beyond you. You can respond to Him, and He wants you to see. He wants you to see. One of my sons has, how should I put this? He reacts with a lot of drama when something happens. Okay, it's just it's this delightful thing in him about how he's made, that he just has this reaction to things. But as with all things, if we get carried away with them, we get carried away, right? And it can be something simple. And in the midst of these things, we just need to learn how to govern ourselves, right? He has to learn. It can be expected of him. Watch over your heart, son. Don't get carried away here. How? I want you to look for something other than trouble, situation, circumstance. I myself am with you, says the Lord. That actually is more than enough, but you're filled with the wrong thing. So, get filled with me. I'm sure why I told you about my son being so dramatic, but the point is, we can have a reaction to things that either makes it easy for us to deal with things or makes it harder for us to deal with things. And God wants us to learn, son, I'm with you. I want you to see that you can deal with this, but here's how you have to start. Wherever you are, whether you're an 8-year-old boy or where you're an 88-year-old boy, if God is with you, there is a way to get through anything. Find it. Okay, so how do I start? Well, I'm in trouble. I need to turn this around so that what is guarding, what is ruling my heart is the joy of the Lord, not the agony of the trouble. And it's not easy necessarily. Nothing is easy when we haven't done it many times. Nothing is easy when we haven't done it many times. I get on my bike, I fall off. I can't do this. It's not possible for me. There's no way I can do this. I wasn't made to ride a bike. That's impossible. You're asking too much of me, says the Lord. You say to the Lord, basically, this is not fair. If you are able-bodied, you can ride a bike. If you're not able-bodied, you probably find a way to ride a bike. I mean, you've heard stories of, you know, amputees climbing Everest and crazy stuff like that. So I wouldn't even rule out whether, I shouldn't even categorize it as if you're able-bodied, you can ride a bike. Will you ride a bike is a different matter. What do you have to do? Well, I got to guard my heart, actually. I fell down. That defines my entire experience forevermore. That is the only way that's going to happen when I get on a bike. You're in trouble. You reacted poorly. That defines my experience forevermore. It will overwhelm me. What do you need to do to be able to ride a bike? You got to get back on the bike and try again and ride again and ride again, bit by bit by bit. Before you know it, you know, we got a bike yesterday for my wife, and she rode it, and she said, I haven't been on a bike in like 20 years. And he said, isn't it amazing that you just never forget? And it's true. Like, if you know how to ride a bike, you don't stop. I'm not sure that it extends to everything, but certainly on a bike, you just get on and go, right? But if you said, no, I fell off, I could never do this, then that dominates your experience. God wants you to say, no, no, no. Come on, come with me. Endure. How, Father? I can't do this. It hurts when I fall off my bike. Endure. How? This is painful. Yeah, but you're looking at the wrong thing. Consider it all joy. You have to do something to calculate this as a reason to have joy in my heart as I face this. What is the reason to have joy in my heart as I face trouble? God's got this. There is a way through this for me. Even in the midst of all of this, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Watch over your heart. You've got to do it. Now, the rest of us play a part in encouraging you, strengthening you, reminding you, hey, do you remember when God did this? Drawing from you encouragement. I don't know whether you've ever noticed it. When you encourage somebody else, always a little goes back to you. Right? So, yes, we have a part, but nobody can make the choice for you to watch over your heart. Nobody can. Nobody can. You can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him float on its back. It's got to choose to do that. Right? So likewise with you and me. So this is our Father calling to us. Yes, I know what you're going through. And I've got it covered. Will you let me? You don't know what you do. Well, here's what you got to do. Watch over your heart. I don't know how to do that. Well, what do you know how to do? What do you know how to do, son? I love this. The only thing God requires of us is to be faithful in little. Even I can be faithful in little. Faithful in a lot? I'm not sure that that's in me. But faithful in little, and then God knows, yeah, you be faithful in little, I got it figured out how to get you to be faithful in lots. So be faithful in little. What can you do in the midst of trouble? What could you possibly do? If you at least start with this, I got to watch over my heart, you're already on your way. I can't let this thing rule me. You're already on your way. Okay? You've already at least taken a step. Instead of just reacting as you always did, now there's a thought that says, maybe there's a different way to react to this. Maybe something is scheming against me, and I got to be on guard here. Maybe the real problem is not the problem, but what I think of the problem. Okay, what do I got to do? He said, watch over my heart. I didn't know how to do that. What do you know how to do? Well, I can give thanks. What do I got to give thanks for? Thank you that it's a good day. Father, I just want to give thanks to you for this pleasant day that we have. And you will find it's like a snowball rolling. If you are faithful with little, it sets you up to be able to be faithful with much more so that in the worst of troubles, you can watch over your heart. That's where you're heading. Okay? So take advantage of everything we are all going through. Make full use of it. Don't let it go to waste. Don't let trouble go to waste. Trouble is not your destiny. It's just an instrument that God can use to help you. Even if it wasn't how he wanted to help you in the first place, he can still use it. Okay? If he had an easier journey to where he wanted you to get to and you chose the bramble path, he can still help you through there. He can still help you through there. He doesn't stop. He doesn't say, okay, I'll see you on the other side. No, he'll walk through with you. He'll walk through with you. Watch over your heart. I'm getting old. Watch over your heart. I'm too young. Watch over your heart. I'm not XYZ. Watch over your heart. Watch over your heart. Father, I thank you that you've got something here that takes care of this problem. And I thank you. I just thank you. I just thank you. I just thank you. I think the reason I told you about my boy, okay, so he has this dramatic reaction to everything. But then when you see him succeed, and the joy that is in him because he did it. And he doesn't remember all the drama. I mean, you know, he's not the kind of guy who says, I just know I'm dramatic about everything. All he knows is this is the obvious thing to do. Screaming right now is the perfectly sensible thing to do in the face of this. But then when you see that he actually succeeds and the delight that he has over it, you begin to get a glimpse of why God takes us through the things that we take through. I want you to find out. What has happened for you? I want you to find out what really is possible for you. And that brings him joy. So it is with us. Bring joy to your Father, who already delights in you, but has made possible impossible things for you. So take courage. Watch over your heart. In all things give thanks. Work towards considering it joy in your trouble. Work towards, be faithful with little things. Because the real problem is not trouble. It is trouble getting inside you. Okay, I'll end with reminding you of Psalm 3. Psalm 3 is a really good psalm. It's one of the better psalms. O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God. Okay? All trouble has that as its backing message. In some cases, it looks bigger, and in other cases, it's a quiet voice, but all trouble wants to say to you, not even God can help you. The emphasis might be different. Not even God can help you. Okay? But that's what it says. There is no deliverance for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the one who lifts my head. The but there is essential. You got to capture it. Yeah. That's going on. And then the but negates it. You got to negate what trouble is trying to put in your heart. How? Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You, O Lord, are my healer. You, O Lord, make a way where there is no way. You, O Lord, provide when I don't deserve it. You, O Lord, have taken my sins and have already put them behind your back. You, O Lord, are wise in all your ways and you see where I am. I'm not hidden from you. Even if the darkness surrounds me, I'm not hidden from your sight. You have to watch over your heart. I'll end there. We'll continue next week. Father, again, I ask for help, first and foremost with me, but for each of my brothers and sisters and anybody who hears these words, that you would capture us with the thought, if you are with us, then who is against us? If God is for us, then who is against us? What can separate me from your love? That these things would fill our hearts more than trouble, more than circumstance, more than weakness, more than age, more than gender, more than society, more than anything. I ask for help, Father, that each one of us would be filled with a glimpse of the glory of the Lord who is with us, that helps us to see the joy that is set before us, that helps us to endure what doesn't seem to be endurable, that we might lay hold of the treasure you have for us. Father, I ask for help that each one of us would learn, that each one of us would go further in watching over our hearts and thereby make even more of the glory of God visible here on earth in us and through us. So we give ourselves to you, we commit ourselves to you, and we just thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Glorify him in us and through us. Amen. Amen and amen.